Hello and welcome to Binge or Cringe. This is Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam Cravens.
So I'm going to start with a shorty. For real this time. Something on topic. And it was, I found some list that said, hey, watch this. These are shows that really weren't on a lot, but you would enjoy them. And I immediately said to myself, you're going to get yourself all Firefly'd, you know?
Do you want me to start a stopwatch to see how long it'll take for us to go off topic?
Wait.
Okay, fair enough.
I'm not going to go down the delicious Nathan Phil. Anyway, so one of the shows is called Great News. And it is, Tina Fey has something to do with it, but she's not writing it. She's not producing it. I know she's going to pop in at some point. And the main story is it's about a newscast cable show. Not Wayne's World. And many people that you'll recognize, especially Andrea Martin, who plays the lead's mother. And so the lead's mother wants to pursue her career that she had put on hold for 30 years and become a producer or have something to do with news. And so there is that. And there's an actor who I can see. He's in Arrow. Trilogy, dystopian, that one?
Arrow Trilogy Dystopian?
Movie, what movie is that?
That
the
has
girl.
Arrow
the
in
girl.
It?
No, she uses arrows, that one.
Oh, you're Catching Fire.
Yes, anyway. Yeah. He's not in it, but never mind. You know the woman who wears the crazy outfits in the Hunger Games?
They all kind of look...
No, like the insane one that announces stuff.
Oh, her. Okay. Elizabeth Banks.
Yes, Elizabeth Banks. He is with Elizabeth Banks in Pitch Perfect. It's that guy.
This is like the oddest game of... It's what is it? Not charades. It's the one
Pictionary
where you...
Pictionary, maybe?
Yes. Like, or not, not pick, the one where like you can't say certain words when you'll just be like, crazy dress, hunger, bow and arrow, trilogy. And I'm just like,
You should have picked right up on that. Just, but you know that guy.
I do.
So he is the news anchor. You can see that. And not quite Ted Knight, but still. It's a funny show. There are two seasons of it. And I'm going to surprise you. Liken it to 30 Rock, because it has a lot of similarities.
And well, I would say, especially even with like Tina Fey's involvement,
yes.
Like it probably does more, like even unintentionally.
Yes. And also liken it to Kimmy Smith.
Schmidt,
yes, her too.
Unless you have a friend
no,
named Kimmy
her too.
Smith, at which point I apologize, Kimmy. I don't want to downplay your...
Liken it to both of them.
Okay.
But the character in both of them, played by Jane Krasinski, she was Jenna in 30 Rock, kind of the vapid, cool, whatever, wants to be cool, that kind of character,
yeah.
Very self-involved, is... brilliantly played by Nicole Richie.
The one from
yes.
That?
Yes.
Is there another famous Nicole Richie that
no.
I'm... No. Okay.
She's really good.
I want to back up for a moment and make sure that like I didn't pass out
no.
Or like go into a fugue state. Did you say brilliantly?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I'm just making
now,
sure.
Normally, I would say, oh, well, she's just being herself.
I was concerned I was about to wake up in
no.
The middle of a desert in my underwear, but okay, we're good. We're good.
She, well-rounded, well-played, well-cast. I mean, just really, this is shallow of me, but not of Hal. I did not expect her to be that good. When I saw who it was, I kind of figured, well, maybe that's like a ratings thing or whatever. They got her cheat. She's really good at this role.
At this point, I don't like if it was 2004, maybe a ratings thing, but like.
I don't know.
Maybe it was all Paris.
Maybe it was, but she's great doing the whole vapid thing and the mannerisms and it's a nice show. So far, I have actually laughed out loud because this is a classic bit. You have someone on camera and they have to say the words someone is feeding them.
Man, it doesn't seem like it should be complicated.
Yes.
But I've done that before and it. When you've got to like maintain like your cadence
mm-hmm.
and like your speech pattern and everything while you're also trying to process what somebody is, it just...
Yes. So you have Andrea Martin, who originally from SCTV, if you're unfamiliar with her work, you're a moron, but you need to familiarize yourself with her. So she is feeding the newscaster his lines because he has had surgery for his cataracts but doesn't want people to know because then they'll think he's old.
So he won't wear glasses.
Of course.
For the teleprompter. Okay.
So I knew what they were going for, and they executed it extremely well. So it's just... For all the crap shows that stay on for years, apparently The Middle has been on a long time. I saw it once. There's no reason to ever watch it.
Nine years? I'm actually a big fan of The Middle.
Okay. Anyway, I saw one episode. They were on a patio, and I got bored. But really nicely done. And if you, you know, don't want to watch 30 Rock for the fifth time, which I'm about to, just watch Great News. And then be sad when it's over because there are no more.
And the thing that I know we always divulge whenever we go into 30 Rock, the fact that NBC basically like gave it its last season. Like it was never a ratings powerhouse. It was never any of that, but that people were fanatical.
Yes.
And rightfully so. And that basically they were just like, you know what? We'll let them tie it up. But same thing Universal basically did with the Firefly movie. Mm-hmm. Like, they were just like, these people are insane. That show got canceled. They didn't even run all the episode. People are still talking about it, and it's...
Maybe we made a mistake.
Yeah. Now, I mean, the weird thing about, like, today is that shows get... Family Guy has ran for how many seasons after they uncanceled it? Mm-hmm. Futurama has been canceled, uncanceled, and whatever, how many times?
Mm-hmm.
Like... Back in the day, like, shows just didn't come back. Like, they're talking about a new run for Frasier now. Like, it's just...
Now, a reboot or a new run?
It is. It's with Kelsey Grammer. So, I mean, it's...
And David Hyde Pierce?
Well, I would assume there isn't a point in doing it if...
It can't be the both of them. It has to.
I'm just saying...
It has to be the both.
It's like the X-Files without Mulder and Scully.
Yeah, like, we've been there.
There's just... Why?
Yeah. Anyway, there's that, and I know we're going to go in detail. We're going to talk about Yellowstone, but I want to get this out of the way. Did you get to see any of The Protector?
No, I was watching Yellowstone.
Okay, whatever.
I'm really bad once I start watching
a
show. I have a voice that tells me to do what I've been told to do or what I'm supposed to be doing, but there's a really loud overriding voice, especially when I'm watching something I like that I'm just like...
Oh, are the speakers hooked up?
I don't,
does it work?
No, the kids were on that. I had sent myself to my room because... Well, that and Yellowstone's like TV-MA, so I figured it was best if I didn't have to be like, well, why are they shooting each other? And I'll just be like,
they feel like it.
That's not real blood. They were at McDonald's. That's ketchup.
Not even going there. So I stumbled upon a show called The Protector, which in turn led me down an internet black hole. And sometimes I like to have something on, just to have on, but that I don't have to watch. Except the lead guy is really attractive, so it was distracting. But I didn't know what I was watching. It was called The Protector. It said superhero. It said superhero. You had me a superhero. Okay?
That's if you look at 107% of what I watch.
Superhero.
It's usually superheroes or it's westerns.
So it was like, why don't I know of this show? Superhero. Because there's like a symbol that's kind of glowing. It's like, I should know about this. This is a symbol. It glows. Protector.
It's a superhero. This is my checklist.
I know. It's everything I want. And the guy, he reminded me of someone vaguely, but then really didn't after I looked at him. So I start watching it. And again, I'm not paying close attention. I'm like trying to avoid chores. And then I think, their lips aren't quite matching up. I need to watch this more closely. Oh, yes. That's because it is overdubbed. Now, in... praise of this show, the show originates in Turkey. So all of a sudden, I am researching Turkey because, like, wow, I don't know a lot about Turkey and Ankara and Constantinople. I just, you know, I don't know a lot about it. So then I have
You're aware of it.
Yes.
But,
so then I have to research it because my impression would have been not very westernized. this is very westernized, and apparently that's how it is in Turkey for the most part, but not completely. But if you're over there in that part of the world, Turkey is the place to be if you are listening to us. If you're not listening to us, you would never do it anyway.
It's true.
Yeah. And the women, beautiful, and all of them beautiful. So here is the story.
Of a lovely lady?
Yes, I was going to say that. Oh, and by the way, even they did a fairly decent job with the dubbing, not matching it up so much, but most of the voice talent they used really seemed to work. There are some minor characters where it just kind of, they were a different league of voice actors. And
back in the day when you had like big blockbuster movies, like most of them like rated R, and they'd show them on like, you know, ABC Sunday Night Movie or something.
Yeah.
It was always really interesting to see, like, when Die Hard 2 aired. I remember it was like NBC, CBS. It was one of those. I don't remember what it was, but like John McClane has a catchphrase that really is not, you know, it's not 7 o'clock Sunday night friendly.
Yes.
And the whoever the voice talent was that they got to do it.
High-pitched woman?
It was just, it was not Bruce Willis. Like, you could not even, if you were just casually paying attention, like, at no point does it ever seem like that should be coming out of Bruce Willis's. It even sounds like it's almost a different, like, dialect. Like, going from, like, if you suddenly had, like, somebody from, like, the South Bronx talking in an episode of Dukes of Hazzard. Like,
see.
That's how just abrasive it was of a difference. And I'm like, well, A, that's not Yippee-ki-yay. And B, that's not Bruce. There was no one else of all the actors who do any kind of voice work. You could not have found one that at least didn't sound like they were. What was going on here?
I don't know. This was not as jarring. And I think that, you know, the normals listening to it, who aren't going to pick up on all that, will not be as it's minor. But the actors, the actual actors, they do a good job. And the reason I sound so surprised is I'm so used to mostly American-fed, American-produced shows. And so, for instance, I can spot a made-in-Canada family movie from a mile off. They're like two steps below a Lifetime.
Well, to be fair, like, America does, let's say, three things really, really well. Like, you've got their art forms. Fast food.
Large portions.
Yeah, just with cheese, butter, fry. Like, that's, we do that.
Yes.
I believe jazz also originated here.
Sure.
And television.
Entertainment,
like
visual.
It
we're good at it
for whatever. And I mean, if you want to, I'm not saying that when quantifying anything that money is the only thing you should look at.
Correct.
But for the most part, if you will look at the films that, like, let's say the past 5 years, the top 10 films, the highest grossers worldwide, not domestically, I will virtually guarantee you 90% of those, if not 100, are American-made films. Like, we like to have things that we consume, either in actuality or, like, with our eyes. Like, we like to have stuff that will either, like, fill us to the brim or entertain us with it. And we love junk.
We really do.
We love some junk.
So that's why I was kind of surprised, because as it started, it looked of a similar quality to something that would be on any major network, not you and I running around with a camera, which we have threatened to do.
Yeah.
So the story is, and this is where I want you to see it. I think in my reading, it is based off of a comic book. Maybe me telling you this, or maybe it's based off of a story that takes place in Turkey and you won't know. But the story is, there is a guy, he puts on a magical shirt, and the shirt kind of goes into his body all zzzz.
Like an invasive, like,
yeah,
bad,
and then, and
I need an adult kind of way? Or?
No.
Okay, good.
No.
Good.
And
oh,
then,
thank goodness.
And then he is indestructible. and he is the protector of the city.
Are you sure that you're not describing to me greatest American hero?
Almost, because the bad guys happen to be the Immortals, who apparently are just jerks. And it's a whole thing about he finds out who his family is. He didn't know he was the protector. All of this weird stuff happens. And as the protector, there are loyal ones whose job is to help the protector. And then you have the Immortals who are the bad guys. That's pretty much it.
Are you sure somebody hadn't spliced together the Highlander TV series and Greatest American Hero? Because that's what it sounds like to me.
It does sound like that. Now, he has not flown or done any of the hero landing. He, in the last show of the first season, there was a little bit more with the jumping and the twirling. Of course, the women are not just pretty, but devastatingly beautiful. It's really, I don't want to say it's not bad. I was just so surprised that we, America, didn't produce it. That I was like, huh, this is really pretty good. This guy is the Jason Momoa of Turkey.
That's
in my mind.
Hold on 1 second. I'm having to remember a three. Okay, there we go.
He doesn't look like him, but he started out as a model, and now he's going into
an
action.
He has a lot of similarities in his... Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
And there you go. It's not brilliant. It's not brilliant, but I was surprised at the quality of a non-Murkin produced thing, and again, superhero. So, there's that. Jane Ellen here, talking with Adam Cravens. This is Binge or Cringe on the Hints and Oakley Podcast Center.
I think it's amusing that, like, superheroes are just, that is the thing that makes money and needs to be produced everywhere. Like, the CW does it. Like, mm-hmm. CBS tried to produce a superhero show in 2015. Turkey is doing it. Like,
and they're doing it pretty well.
Like, I'm going to go ahead and say probably five of the top 10 movies like this last year, probably superhero movies.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Aquaman just crossed $1 billion. Like, it, as a kid that grew up in the 80s and just like hotly anticipated any like table scraps of a superhero anything. Like, maybe you got a Batman movie every 3-4 years if you were lucky, and maybe, you know, maybe it was good. Sometimes it wasn't, but you know what? You didn't bite the hand that fed you because you just got a Batman movie.
Exactly.
And you shut your mouth and you took it. Like, I believe somebody recently, like, reported this year coming, the 2019, will have more superhero films released than any other year. And it's not like this is a new trend. Like, they've been making ridiculous bank for a while now.
Mm-hmm.
And it just amazes me that this late in my life, like, something that I would have paid money to somebody to make happen, like, it's just, it's happening. Like,
everywhere.
Picard's coming back in his own series. The X-Files got a revival a couple of years ago. Like, I'm just like, all of these things that I was like, oh, I just want them back. I just want them back. Like, it's happening.
I remember dying for the prequel. What? We're starting in the middle of the story? Oh, I can't wait. Can't believe I ever said those words.
Are you talking about the prequels or just prequels in general?
There's good
ways to do prequels.
The
prequels. I figured that's what you meant.
Yes, I remember that. Anyway, so look, we almost stayed on topic the whole time. Kevin Costner, Tatanka, Buffalo. Are you sure we didn't talk about it?
I'm next to certain. Now, I think we did off mic.
Okay, all right. Yellowstone,
but then
go.
Then we immediately silenced ourselves because we're like, wait.
Oh, that's right.
Why are we not recording
because
this?
Because you were telling me how you were able to watch it.
Yes.
Okay. It's on what?
The Paramount Network.
Which you'd think would just be all Star Trek.
Actually, Paramount only owns the films now.
Really?
CBS owns the television series, which is the reason why Discovery appears on the CBS All Access app. Whenever Viacom separated the entities, like, evidently...
Entities.
CBS got the rights to Star Trek, which is funny because CBS has never aired. Like NBC, it aired on. UPN, it aired on.
That's weird.
Syndication, it aired on like Fox 17. CBS owns it. And as far as I know, the only time CBS has ever aired any Star Trek besides like, you know, maybe one of the movies or something on, you know, whatever, is the first episode of Discovery, I believe, was on primetime. But the rest of it was kind of one of those, you get this taste for free. Come to our app if you want the other episodes.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, CBS owns Star Trek. Paramount, which I've always associated with Star Trek, does not own the TV series, any of them now.
So it owns the movies and apparently Yellowstone. What else is on the Paramount channel?
I'm not sure. Okay. I just keep watching it. Much in the same way that I use CBS All Access, as soon as I have watched all of the episodes of Star Trek, then I cancel it and I wait for the next season of Star Trek. Though apparently they heard me say that because now they're like, oh, fine, we'll give you two Star Trek series. And I'm like, that's not a threat. I'm not angry that you're doing that. If you'll keep producing Star Trek, I will keep my subscription. $5.99 for new episodes of Star Trek for somebody that went for, let's see, Enterprise was canceled in, what, 04? And Discovery didn't start back up till...
It's been a long time. I always associate that song with you.
Little did I know how descriptive that was going to be of what it was going to feel like after they canceled Enterprise.
Which, again, like Solo, better than you thought it was.
It really... Like, I've even went back and watched it and just been like, what were you...
Yeah.
You doofus it. Like, what were you guys screaming about? Like, I get mad at...
People you don't know. Yes.
Star Wars, Star Trek, like when people just, when they spew this just vile, like just gallons and gallons
from their
of bile.
Basement.
To the point that like they end up getting it canceled or they get, and I'm like, what was so wrong with that?
I know. Silliness.
But I'll stop that. I've went off on
So, Yellowstone, Kevin Costner.
I don't remember if it was you that I said this to. Honest to goodness, I think the only contemporaries that Kevin Costner has in the Western field are probably the Duke and Clint Eastwood. If you will go back and look at Kevin Costner's work, like even stuff that is not specifically like designated a Western. Like, for example, Yellowstone takes place in the modern day. But... you would have absolutely no problem, like, transplanting this to, like, say, the 1860s or 1850s. Like, probably not the 1700s. It's going to... then it becomes something else entirely. But it feels like a Western just placed in the modern-day context.
Okay.
He is this... I don't know if they go into the exact amount of money. He's a millionaire or he's a billionaire. Dude's loaded. He's got his own ranch. Like they handle cattle. They're putting in.
Would you say he's a cattle baron?
He also has land. So
and a land baron.
I mean, he's a baron. I think that's to be fair. Yes.
Okay.
Just own mass amounts of cattle property. Like they're developing some of it into like subdivisions and condominiums. Like basically in this particular part of the state. You don't make a decision without this guy's permission. And if you do, it's not going to be good news.
Right.
However, as there is always whenever there is power, like there's a struggle for others of those that want it.
Do you want to say that absolute power is corrupted? Absolutely.
Kevin Costner, however much I may love the actor, does not seem like he is a good man in this particular series. In much the same way that we wanted to root for Tony Soprano, I think this is a kind of a of that same cloth. They're not even anti-heroes. They're really just kind of villains. Like they're not twiddling their mustache villains. Like they have families. You understand their motivations. Like you understand them. You know, I don't think any of us want to be like not successful in life. But at a certain point, like you have to go, well, am I hurting others in order to do this? And if I am, do I care? And if I don't care, then I just need more power. The other thing that I kind of enjoy about this, you've got there's some Native Americans and a recently elected official, and what they're calling, like, he's the chief of this particular tribe. They're wanting to get the land back that has been taken from them, which is that's the valid point. The way they want to do it also kind of seems, let's say, outside of the law.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody in this show is really a good person.
I see.
Like, I don't want to say that they don't have positive motivations or there isn't, like, an occasional... The characters that do seem to have any kind of moral compass have no power. And maybe that's why they don't. The Duttons, which is Kevin Costner's family, you've got, like, the estranged child.
Mm-hmm.
The one that does seem to kind of have a moral compass, he doesn't have any power. He's been estranged from his dad. The ones that do, like I said, it's almost Shakespearean. It's a Shakespearean modern day Western. It blends a lot of genres.
So you're saying that there's a person who doesn't seem to be very nice, owns a lot of land and property.
Yep.
And is put in a position of power.
Yes.
And does questionable things.
I wouldn't say just us. Basically, everything they do seems questionable.
Hmm.
But because they have the money and they've got, you know, this person in their pocket or they have the law enforcement, like, it just...
Luckily, that doesn't happen in real life.
No, it's just a story.
Yes.
This is only things that happen in books and movies,
yes,
and TV shows.
Wouldn't be real. No one would believe it.
No, that would be silly.
Exactly.
It does not have a parallel in real
Any
life.
Thing.
It's also the guy that did Sicario. What else? He did Hell or High Water.
Mm-hmm.
He is the one of the producers and the writers on this. So, like... It's really kind of got a pedigree wherever you want to look. Like, it's staffed with rather talented actors. The writer in particular is one of my favorites. Like, I can't think of anything he's done here recently that I have not absolutely enjoyed or that has not garnered him some kind of award success or nominations or anything like that.
Hmm. Interesting. So, how many seasons?
Right now, it finished its first season, I want to say, in December, and
mm-hmm.
it has a second season that's going to start sometime in the summer. I don't know the exact date yet.
I see.
But really, all you have to do to get me to, well, A, say Kevin Costner. B, if you throw Western on top of there, Open Range.
Mm-hmm.
He did Hatfields and McCoys.
Isn't that a chicken thing?
The Open Range? No, it was not about chickens. You're thinking of the Mel Gibson movie that was animated by the Wallace and Gromit
yes.
guys. That's Chicken Run. Open Range
Wait a minute.
Has Robert Duvall, Kevin Costner, and the guy that plays Dumbledore, like, I think it's rated R. It's got a really brutal shootout at the end of the movie. Kevin Costner
sure?
directed it.
Are you sure?
Yes. Yes, Open Range definitely did not have
a chicken
voiced by Mel Gibson, which would have just been strange to show. Because that movie's pretty serious to suddenly have a chicken show up and just be like, hey guys, what's going on?
I'll
be like, is that Mel Gibson voicing that talking chicken in this really gritty Western drama? What? That's kind of a left turn. All right. Okay.
All right. Now I want to see that movie.
I mean, even Costner's Postman, like, which takes place in the future,
mm-hmm.
which I think, if I'm remembering correctly, was like 2015.
Yeah.
Which, thank goodness, we avoided that one. Even that movie, which is set in the future and post-apocalyptic, feels a whole lot like a Western. Like,
mm-hmm.
I feel like either he gravitates toward things that he's just like, we could put some horses in there, give me a gun, and I'm basically shooting a Western. Or he gets to a product and he's like, throw that out, get that garbage out of there, put a horse in there, and give me a cowboy hat. And they're like, this is the sequel to 9 to 5, Kevin. How are we going to? And he's like, I don't care.
Make it happen
or I'm out. I'm out. And they're like, let me call Dolly Parton. We'll see if she's all right.
All right, let's do it. All right. So lots of stuff to binge and or cringe on. There is a show. I don't even know why I'm telling you this because I cannot remember the name of it, and it would be way too much for me to lean over and pick up my phone. It's on one of the main networks, and it is a singing competition. My understanding is the celebrities, probably D-list, but the celebrities who are singing are completely covered in a costume, like a chicken costume. Like, you cannot see who that person is.
I really feel like since the advent of reality television that the term celebrity has been diluted.
So, and then other celebrities, they have to either judge or figure out who the person is, and they're... The thing is, it's not like The Voice where it's just The Voice and they turn around and go, oh, ugly guy can sing, you know, that kind of thing. Or
it's the voice, but with a chicken suit?
Maybe. They were all farm animals.
Are you sure? Like,
yes.
You were talking a lot about chickens
yeah,
as of late. Like, did you get into some bad KFC or something?
Oh.
And it's like... Did you get into some spoiled Zaxby's? Like, what happened?
I haven't had KFC chicken skin in my hand full of mashed potatoes and rolled up and eaten, I don't think, in this millennia.
I recently went to one of the buffets that still had grilled chicken, and they look at me, and they were like, how many, sugar, how many pieces you want? And I go... How many do you have? She came back to me like with the plate, and she's like, is this enough? And I was like, you have no idea how happy you've made me. And then I ate the, and I mean, we're talking about like probably 12, 13 pieces of chicken, Jane. There was bones left. Like, you remember the elephant graveyard in The Lion King? That's what it looked like. That's how much of it I don't turn down chicken.
No.
Oh, man, do I love chicken.
Oddly enough, Jenna and I are the only ones pretty much who will eat chicken in my house.
Oh, no.
I know.
It's
ridiculous.
I would almost consider eating found chicken. Mm. Like, as long as I was like, well, that's not spoiled. No, I better not. I better not.
Just so you know. Okay, so Binge or Cringe, there's a lot of stuff to watch, and maybe one day I'll figure out what that show is, because I haven't seen it.
Unless she's
I just
made
know it,
up. It
exists.
Unless she has.
Because I don't know the
made
title.
It up.
Anyway, thank you, as always, for listening. This has been Binge or Cringe. I'm Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam Cravens.